Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we made the New York Times. Look at that. Here's just a couple of Montana kids having a conversation in the Capitol. Apparently, the New York Times was listening in. Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines, thanks for hosting us here at your office in the United States Senate here for Montana Coffee. It's an honor to see you.
It's good to have you here. And, you know, we talk a lot about Montana coffee when we're typically doing these hits. 6 a.m. your time back in Montana. Of course, 8 a.m. here in Washington. But to have you here live, broadcasting from Montana Coffee. We're doing it here in my office. We're going to have Montana showing up here about 8:15. Should be a good morning.
Yeah, I saw some Montanans are already showing up, coming here to have coffee with everybody.
They know a good deal. Free coffee and free donuts. So never pass that.
I've got a cup in hand myself here as well. But yeah, this was so cool. So Jesse Ramos and I, we were just cruising around the Capitol yesterday. We thought, hey, let's stop into Senator Daines' office, say hi. We run into your team. They're like, well, we're just about to go see the senator. He's at lunch with Vice President J.D. Vance and all the Republican senators. So we tag along. We got a chance to run into Vice President J.D. Vance and then catch up with you. And what a meeting that was yesterday.
You know, we meet as Republican senators every Tuesday. We get together. It's kind of our locker room huddle meeting. It's lunch. And we meet in the Mansfield Room, Aaron, which, of course, is the room just off the floor of the U.S. Senate. It's the largest meeting room. It's the kind of the most prestigious meeting room. And whoever's in majority control of the U.S. Senate has basically first rights on occupying that room for meetings. And so now that we're back in majority, thank God, we meet there. But of course, you got a big painting there of Mike Mansfield, was the longest serving majority leader in the history of the United States Senate until McConnell just surpassed that here a couple years ago. But it's a proud Montana room. We had a great lunch with J.D. Vance. He's always so accessible. Of course, he was one of us here. Just a year ago, J.D. was just one of the guys coming to lunch. Now he's the Vice President of the United States. We're very proud of him.
The thing that got picked up by the New York Times, you and I were chatting just very quickly, and you were telling me about how he got an earful about beef, not just from you, but other beef states, not just yes. Montana.
Look, this Argentinian beef issue is something that affects cattle producers all across the country. We have to remember that while we have 3 million cows and 1 million people in Montana, cattle producers are coast to coast. In fact, you got states like Mississippi. Cindy Hyde Smith, one of my Republican colleagues, they've got a sale barn there in their place. They're cattle producers. And you just watch what's happening in these limit low days we're having right now in the cattle prices. We're staying in close contact with some of our great cow guys like a Joe Goggins and other ranchers across Montana. But we were not afraid to make sure the voice of our ranchers was heard loud and clear to J.D. Vance yesterday. We registered this loud and clear to President Trump last week, to Brooke Rollins, the Secretary of Agriculture, as well as to the President's staff, Susie Wiles, his Chief of Staff. I've been texting literally overnight. The President is over in Asia, as we know. In fact, I just got done texting David Perdue, who's the U.S. Ambassador to China, former U.S. Senator, very close friend of mine. And I said, David, let's make sure we bring up beef for the Chinese, because the Chinese have shut off the beef market to U.S. producers here following this trade dispute we've had since March.
But it was you and President Trump that first got China open to U.S. beef in the first place, back in the first Trump administration. Senator Steve Daines, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick pause here with our live broadcast, but we'll keep the conversation going here. So, Caden, you can mute us. We'll keep the conversation going here during the break here. Take advantage of every second we've got here.
Storm Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, highs from the mid-50s in Bozeman, around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, mid-20s in Bozeman to the low 30s in Billings. And then Thursday's outlook does call for partly to mostly sunny skies, high temperatures from 48 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Breaking the tyranny of fuel. That's the aim of an Army program looking to go nuclear to fuel bases across the globe. It's called the Janus program and looks to install commercial microreactors by 2028 in remote or contested locations where it might be difficult to bring in traditional fuel. Jeff Waksman, the Army official leading the effort, tells Fox News Digital that great power conflict is defined by who can move their resources around, calling it an immense challenge in terms of providing 24/7 power. Military bases right now are powered entirely by fossil fuels, and that it's not possible with current technology to provide provide 24/7 power with solar, wind, and batteries. The initiative will be led by the Department of the Army in partner with the Defense Innovation Unit and Department of Energy's National Laboratories. The plan stems from an executive order signed by President Trump earlier this year. Jeff Manosso, Fox News.
You know, every now and then we'll get a chance to catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. He'll call into the show from Capitol Hill, and then he heads right into Montana Coffee. So I've been saying, you know, one of these days we need to come do the radio show from Montana Coffee. Well, that's what we're doing with Wednesday's Montana Talks. Montana Talks live from Montana Coffee on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Catch our statewide program right here, 9 to 10 a.m. Sponsored by Americans for Prosperity, Montana.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
And we just had a great conversation with Senator Steve Daines during the break. I'll share with you later, talking more about beef and cattle herds and more. Senator Steve Daines, you know, the other thing that stood out yesterday, you know, while you guys were talking beef in the Senate luncheon, it sounds like Chuck Schumer was feeling the heat in his Democrat luncheon.
I think Schumer was having the question, where's the beef his colleagues? So we'll wait and see if this fever starts to break on the shutdown. But we are hearing that there are some cracks developing in the Democrats' coalition. Look, if the truth be told, the Senate Democrats aren't big fans of Chuck Schumer. He rules kind of with an iron fist. He's running for his political life right now with AOC. I mean, can you imagine, Aaron? You wake up in the morning, think about AOC. I mean, what a miserable way to live. and so he's worried that AOC, and AOC would beat him right now in a primary. I mean, that's the sad part.
All of these public employee unions coming out against the Democrats, calling on the Democrats to end their Schumer shutdown, essentially. I mean, That is a huge deal for the Democrats
now. It really was. And so I think we saw this week a few dominoes start to fall. When you see that one of the big federal employee unions come out against Schumer, basically busting the Democrats. It's their shutdown, which is just validating what we've been saying. By the way, there was a CNN poll last night. They were talking about on the air that this is actually moving Republican numbers up in terms of congressional approval amongst independent voters, moving up in our direction as they're seeing through the charade of Chuck Schumer. So I think you saw that first domino fall. You're going to see the air traffic controllers now seeing delays. LAX had delays Sunday, DFW on Monday. As you're going to start seeing, as Secretary Duffy, Secretary of Transportation to President Trump, has said, this is going to get worse and worse. So this is also a danger to the flying public. And then I think you'll see just increasingly with SNAP benefits and other things, which the Democrats love, they're going to, I think, start talking in the next few days about trying to find a way to resolve this.
Yeah, that's certainly what it sounded like yesterday. It sounded like what Vice President J.D. Vance said. I actually recorded his remarks while he was doing a little scrum with some folks out there outside the luncheon, and I'll play that a little later in the show here as well. But really, you know, one of the things that's nice about being here for Montana Coffee is really, you know, we were here actually in your office. You had an inaugural watch party in here, so all the Montanans gathered in here because it was so cold on Inauguration Day. They moved everything indoors, and so we got to be here for that. And then now we're here several months later. Look at all the success of the Trump administration and what a difference a Republican Senate now makes. I mean, you just got Bill Mercer confirmed to the federal bench in Montana. I can't underscore how important that is to the state of Montana.
You know, Aaron, you go back to this journey we've seen over the course of the last 13, 14 years. Back in 2012, in fact, I see my good friend Senator Kevin Cramer just walked in from North Dakota. Kevin and I got elected to the House together back in 2012. So we were freshmen together. And by the way, no North Dakota jokes here this morning, okay? This is a North Dakota joke free zone this morning, you know, to protect the honor there of the honorable senator from North Dakota.
Well, after they started rocking the Bach and the North Dakota jokes went away, we're like, wait.
They started driving bigger pickups and bigger cars in general there in North Dakota and lower taxes. But back in 2012, we had one statewide elected Republican.
It was Denny Reberg. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today, for the first time since 1889, Aaron, since statehood, now we have an all-Republican lineup, but the undertold story of what's happening in the judiciary, these lifetime appointments to the federal bench, could not be happier to see Bill Mercer, a guy I debated in high school. I was a Bozeman Hawk. He was a Billings West Golden Bear. We used to lock horns back in those days on the debate teams. And now to see him as our new federal district judge is a great moment. He'll be a great judge.
Well, you know, we got our friend Jesse Ramos here from AFP Montana. You know, he's a Libby kid. I was just in Libby, interviewed the school superintendent. They used to have 3,000 kids in their schools. Now they only have 1,000 kids in their schools. And it's because of these attacks on mining and timber. But when we talk about making America great again, this is what this is about, is about bringing these mining jobs back, bringing these timber jobs back, so kids like Jesse that graduate from Libby can stay in Libby and have a camper and have a nice house.
Well, Jesse's a younger guy there, but I remember when Libby was a AA high school. And I mean, we'd go up to, you'd go play Libby in football, of course, when the Bozeman Hawks would go up to Libby and play, when they, of course, get the chainsaws out and let her rip.
They still got the chainsaws out. I was there for a game a couple Fridays ago.
I'm surprised the EPA under Biden didn't shut that all down with that, that blue smoke coming out. But it really is, as I've said about President Trump, every hour is like a new day with this administration. The velocity of which they are moving with these really significant transformations of securing the border, securing the military, investing in the military again, getting the woke culture out of the military. Look what's happening now and going after an education, after the universities. You think of what they're doing right now in terms of stopping a $4.5 trillion tax increase thanks to President Trump's leadership and Republican Senate majority.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. About one more minute to go. Montana Coffee, where really, you know, we can catch up and talk politics and news any day of the week, but this is so fun being here for Montana Coffee, seeing all the Montana folks, even in the middle of the shutdown, folks are still here. So thanks for having us here from Montana Coffee and to our friends from AFP Montana for making the trip happen for us as well. But what else do you want to tell folks across Montana? I think Jim Brown's going to be in the House. There's some state legislators here as well.
Yeah, well, this office is always open. As I say, when I have FFA kids, 4-H kids come back here at Montana's at Montana Coffee, this office belongs to the people of Montana. It's not my office. It's Montana's office, and I just get to temporarily occupy it.
Well, and we got to see your new spring bear that you just got. You've already got the photo of your spring bear.
Yeah, well thanks to turning around a quick prints there at Costco. I got a print there, but no, I had a great spring bear hunt. Got one of the better bears, black bears I've had. I had a grizzly sow and two cubs. I was watching just before I killed that black bear. So let's say my head was on a swivel when that 300 Win Mag made that shot on that.
And Cindy got a nice antelope.
She did.
As well.
No, I'll tell you what. It's Mrs. Dane's now. She's an awfully good shot. So
yeah. Now I got to. That's why I got to get home so I can go get some hunting in too. Right. Thanks for rubbing it in. All right, Senator. Good to see you. Back after this.
Thank you. With the Speaker's lobby, the Supreme Court could weaken the Voting Rights Act in a seminal case now before the High Court. During oral arguments in Louisiana versus Calais, several conservative justices signaled outright hostility toward the longstanding interpretation of Section 2 of the 1965 law. The Voting Rights Act broadly prohibits discrimination in voting practices on the basis of race or creed. Decades of legal precedents have directed states and federal courts to ensure that legislative district maps contain some districts where minority voters make up at least half of the population. The rationale is to prevent the dilution of minorities' voting power. But Justices Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch appeared inclined to bar virtually any use of race in redistricting. They suggested that race-conscious district lines might be unconstitutional. And if the High Court undercuts the Voting Rights Act, Democrats could lose anywhere from 15 to nearly 24 House seats. The court's decision could impact the congressional district boundaries in the 2026 midterms. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Lane Nordlund. This week, over 70,000. Yes, you heard that right. 70,000 FFA members will be attending the 98th National FFA Convention and Expo in Indianapolis, Indiana. And state FFA officers from across the nation will also be helping set policy and a direction for the nation's largest youth-led leadership organization. I was able to catch up with one of those outstanding young ag leaders, Ms. Claire Murden, who is president of the Montana FFA Association, and she shares more on what the FFA National Convention means to her.
I think that my largest takeaway every single year from convention is really that agriculture is so broad across the United States, and getting to learn more about the different perspectives of the agriculture industry across the United States is amazing, and being able to engage with other FFA members, whether it's state officers or it's even other just members, it's so amazing to be able to engage and learn more about different types of agriculture and continue to grow my own leadership skills and learn more about how I will continue to be a leader in the agriculture industry.
State FFA officers from across the nation have been in Indianapolis since Monday working on key priorities, but the actual convention will kick off today in Indianapolis with the opening general session of the 98th National FFA Convention. Sure takes me back, and I think I can still zip up my FFA jacket. I don't think I've grown that much. But again, happy National FFA Week, everyone.
It's a couple hours before the football game. The only question is, what are you bringing to the tailgate? Classic beef cheeseburgers? Steak fajitas? Or maybe that beefy seven-layer dip everyone raves about? No matter what you bring, if it's beef, you're going to be the MVP. Together, we bring more. Rev up your crowd at beefitswhatsfordinner.com. Funded by beef farmers and ranchers.
Cattle producers, mark your calendars. The University of Wyoming's Department of Animal Science invites you to the Range Beef Cow Symposium November 10th and 11th at the Event Center at Archer in Cheyenne. Join producers and industry leaders from across our region for 2 days of cutting-edge beef management insights, producer panels, and the always popular bullpen sessions. Don't miss this premier event for practical and profit-building education in the beef cattle industry. Register today at rangebeefcowsymposium.com.
A lot of headlines and conversations surrounding beef over the last week and out in Washington, D.C. Some lawmakers are working to bring back mandatory country of origin labeling for beef. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman of Wyoming and Congressman Ro Khanna of California have reintroduced their Country of Origin Labeling Enforcement Act, or MCOOL, to make sure consumers know where their beef comes from. Hageman says American ranchers deserve fair competition and consumers deserve honest labeling. The bill would also increase penalties for companies falsely claiming their beef is a product of the USA. Groups like the Montana and Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, National Farmers Union, and RCAF USA all praise the effort, saying it will boost transparency and help family ranchers compete. Is back in 2016 when the U.S. Congress removed mandatory country of origin labeling on beef as the World Trade Organization ruled that USMCOOL was in violation of World Trade Organization rules. And later on this week, I'll be attending the American Angus Association annual convention. I'll have a full report of the event and also coverage of this year's board of directors election that will take place on Sunday. We'll have that all right here on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Catching up with North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer. We've been talking, you know, cats and grizz and bison.
Bison.
I say bison in Montana.
Yeah, everybody bison. Does, yeah. but North Dakotans.
Yeah.
In fact, Senator Hovind takes a lot of heat from people out here over the bison versus bison thing, and mainly just because he corrects people all the time. I just, you know.
Yeah. It's
we
like
know what they are.
Boise or Boise.
There you go.
Boise. Yeah. But they say Boise, so yeah.
Well, just the Germans that settled in Western North Dakota say Bismarck.
Oh,
so, you know,
okay.
What
oh,
can
yeah,
you say?
Yeah.
But I always thought it was a speech flaw, but it's not. It's
It's just an accent. Well, Senator Cramer, it's so great to see you. Thanks to Senator Steve Daines for you know, having you come over. This is fun because this is called Montana Talks.
Yeah.
But we are broadcasting. We've got friends in Mondakistan right now. Savage Montana. It's right on the Montana North Dakota border.
Yes.
And it reminds me of when I was in Afghanistan. There's cultural similarities between both sides of the border. So they called it like Pashtunistan. So like Montana, North Dakota. In eastern Montana, it's so much like, you know, the North Dakotans that it's Mondakistan.
I have never heard that, but I love it. I'm going to use that because I do a lot of talk radio, a couple of hours a week, actually, in North Dakota, what we call Talk Radio Town Hall. And it's multiple stations, of course. We do a statewide show, but then in addition to that, I do a lot more of it. And what's fun is I get a lot of calls from Montanans, eastern Montanans,
because
they're listening to the signal. So it's really cool. And you talk about the Bakken and how that's transformed my state. But the Bakken, the cracking of the code, as they call it, Harold Hamm from Continental Resources, who did the horizontal drill and fracking combination that cracked the code, he actually did that in Montana.
That's right.
Yeah, so the first well was Montana, but the sweet spot was North Dakota, and so we benefited tremendously, of course, from that discovery, but so has Montana. There's obviously a lot of benefits.
Well, I'll tell you what, with the Trump administration, you've got to be pleased with what they're doing for American-made energy right now. Montana energy, North Dakota energy. We were talking timber during the break, and so much more. What's standing out to you from a North Dakota standpoint?
Well, it's an interesting point. The benefit that North Dakota has with regard to minerals is that most of them are not under federal land. There are some. There's definitely some. The BLM has a good share, you know, USDA in the Forest Service, the grasslands, but most are not federal minerals. So we've always had that, you know, advantage, if you will. But that said, things like permitting of pipelines, that's a huge deal to be able to move the product out. We also produce a lot of coal. Not like Montana. Ours is not as high quality. It's lignite coal. But the recognition that we can't be hamstringing our own domestic energy supply to the benefit of other nations, I think is huge. And so just from a regulatory standpoint and an attitudinal standpoint, the ability to extract those minerals for the benefit of our country and for our people, and as a national security advantage, is a game changer. There's so much more optimism, Aaron, in the industry, and a lot more investment taking place as a result.
Yeah, and Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Yeah, you were telling us you actually did an event with Senator Cramer, focusing on energy, and you know, back when we saw the Keystone Pipeline under attack, and so much more.
Yeah, I believe it was in 2023, Senator.
I think that's right. Yeah.
My in-laws are farmers over in southwest North Dakota, and my father-in-law told me about this Keystone Pipeline boneyard.
Yeah.
That was on Biden's first day in office, his first act, one of his first acts was to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline. And we saw hundreds of miles of pipe. I think it was $750 million worth of pipe just rotting there.
Yeah.
American industry. The potential that pipeline would have done for the state of North Dakota, can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, there's actually, you know, it's an interesting pipeline. I was on the North Dakota Public Service Commission, carried the pipeline portfolio before I went to Congress. So I cited the first Keystone Pipeline, the original one, which goes to eastern North Dakota, about 600 landowners' land. Didn't have one inch of it that was condemned. We had no taking because people intuitively understand the value. Now, the thing about the Keystone, of course, is that it carries Canadian oil. It's heavy, sour crude from Alberta. Danielle Smith, who's a good friend of mine, she's the current premier of Alberta. It's funny, when Donald Trump talks about making Canada the 51st state, I always say, how about just Alberta? Can we do that? And we'll throw in Saskatchewan. Scott Moy, I know their premier is coming to see me next week, because we share this great landscape and these rich minerals together. But that oil displaced, of all things, Venezuelan oil. That's what Canadian heavy crude does. It's so much better than buying from Venezuela, and it's one example of the geopolitical benefits and as well as the environmental benefits of a much cleaner oil and process higher environmental standards of the North American continent than Venezuela, and not to mention, you know, just their other obvious problems. But all of that said, the Keystone XL, which would be the first cousin of the Keystone, was going to actually enter the United States in Montana.
That's right. And Phillips County, just north of
Alton. That's right. And yeah. It never would have come into North Dakota, but really? It was close. It was really close because we did right, an off. I even cited, that's right, I cited on the commission an off-ramp of that pipeline to Baker, Montana. There would have been a little bit of, offtake that would have entered that pipeline from North Dakota into Baker. And then we'd have mixed some of the crude, the heavy sour Canadian crude, with light sweet Bakken crude, and it has all kinds of benefits. It's a long story. But at the time, Governor Hoeven, who's now my Senate colleague, and the governor of Montana had made an arrangement where there would be 100,000 barrels per day capacity for Bakken crude, along with the Canadian crude. So there was that benefit.
A
huge deal. Now,
it would have been big money for Montana as well. Have you heard talk of another Keystone-style pipeline? I've heard rumblings of it, but I almost don't want to mention it because I don't want to mess with a good thing. If a good thing's happening, just let it happen is kind of
right.
What I look
at. Pipelines especially, because they are such a target for professional protests. And we experienced that with the Dakota Access Pipeline. Mm-hmm. And we're still debating the Dakota Access Pipeline, even though it now moves about 750,000 barrels of Bakken crude to market every day, and it'll be upgraded here soon to take another 500 or so thousand barrels per day. But the offtake is a huge deal, you guys. But it's just that, to your question, though, Aaron, it's really difficult these days to site pipelines. So you're always looking for the shortest routes, the cleanest routes. But now is the time to do it when we have an administration that's I don't even want to say friendly. It's just not hostile.
Yeah,
to this stuff, you know, and while respecting states' rights and interstate commerce.
Yeah, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Aaron Flint here, broadcasting live from Washington D.C. Montana Coffee already underway here at Senator Steve Daines' office. We've got a great lineup joining us here all morning long. Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana will be with me here all morning long too. So I can't wait to chat a little bit more with him about what we got to do yesterday. Stand by.
To perform.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, it's great to have us, North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer in the house with us here for a few more minutes because we've been having so much fun off-air conversation. We've been talking cats and grizz and bison or whatever you call it. And so you got to tell us some Steve Daines stories now because he's in the other room. So he's stuck having Montana coffee right now.
Steve is pretty – he bears a lot of the responsibility for me having this crazy job because, as he said, we were classmates in the House. He quickly abandoned the House and came over to the Senate, first opportunity, and thank goodness he did. But for 6 years, he'd say to me, "Kevin, you've got to run for the Senate. The food is so much better." You know, and he's right, by the way. He's right. He's a dear friend. And I've been in this conference room many times, as he's been in mine. We spread prayer our Bible study around, Senate Bible study, and we often meet in here. We often meet in mine. I'm just down the hallway in one office between us. So he's a great friend. He's a great mentor. And he's really a senator at a very interesting time. I don't know how much you've talked about the fact that the president right now is in Asia, is about hopefully going to come back with really good soybean news farmers from China. And of course, nobody, and I mean nobody, in the United States Senate knows more about China and business and geopolitical relationship and the trade business with China than Steve Daines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always great to get his insight on that front. You were talking, well, first, before we talk border security, because I know you've been focused a lot on the northern border, which is very important to our listeners as well. So you were talking about the Boneyard, the Keystone Pipeline Boneyard, how, you know, here you have all of this pipe just sitting there rotting, and it reminded me of the border. So I want to get back to that. But first, what a different, you talk about Senator Steve Daines as chairman of the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee. There is no way we would be getting everything done along with President Trump right now if it wasn't for the Republican Senate majority that he helped deliver. And what a difference having a United States Senator like Tim Sheehy in the next room right now as well.
Yeah, and let's just say, I think it's safe to say Steve was a little bit more interested in that race than all the others. Here's what Steve Daines was the best at the NRSC, and he's good at everything. I mean, he's a relationship guy. But he did the most fundamental thing first, and that was get really good candidates. You know, it's harder to win with bad candidates. I don't know if you know that, but it's like, sort of like winning the World Series with an average team. You can't do it. And he recruited great candidates, and Tim Sheehy is among the very best. I mean, you talk about a guy that hit the ground running. Now, I do think one thing I love about Tim is he's never been involved, in the legislative process, and so he's not burdened by our traditions, if you know what I'm saying. and he expresses himself quite openly and articulately. He's just so good and so effective. But yeah, Steve did a great job at the NRSC, to say the least. But to your point, even going back to the first Trump term, when he had a Senate, and I served 2 years in that term. He recruited me heavily to run for the job. You look at the judiciary, as Steve referenced, and of course you could start with the Supreme Court, the obvious advantages there. I mean, the Chevron decision, West Virginia versus EPA, major questions doctrine, waters of the United States, where they've restored states' rights, private property rights, the power of the elected Congress versus the not elected bureaucracy. Game-changing precedents that have changed the landscape throughout the country, and I don't think is appreciated nearly enough sometimes. Now you come to this one, this Congress, this Senate, and our change of the rules relating to nominations and confirmations, and as Donald Trump, he almost complained about all the confirmations he had to sign after we passed them a couple of weeks ago.
You mean he didn't just have somebody auto-pen all that? He actually signed it. President,
imagine that. Isn't that something?
Border security, there was something else you just mentioned. Oh, Chevron decision. You were talking about soybean news. In fact, I heard soybeans mentioned on Fox and Friends earlier this morning on the president's Asia mission. Yeah. You look at the 4D chess that President Trump is working on here. I want to get your take on what you guys had to say to Vice President Vance about beef in the meeting yesterday, if you can. And what he said in response, if you can. But one big piece of beef news that hasn't been getting a lot of attention was this move on saturated fat, and USDA, stopping, basically discriminating against ranchers by saying that, the saturated fat in beef is bad for you when I think RFK is challenging that. And so there's been some big positive news on that front that's good for beef.
It's a great point because beef, like a lot of traditional foods, has been getting a bad rap from do-gooders or just anti-us people, and there's lots of them out there, big government, but also other left-wing organizations. And the reality is that beef, I don't know a better form of protein than beef. And if you're going to trust somebody's take on whether a particular food product is healthier than another, RFK would be the guy to trust. Believe me. Don't like everything that comes out of his mouth, but when it comes to food and what's good for you, he knows his business.
But that being said, if we're going to pivot to, to beef tallow and things like that, what do we do for our seed oil producers? But that's what the Trump administration is working on in a lot of these trade deals as well, right?
There's so many things. There are some things we can do domestically, and certainly there's a lot of use of the seed oils for fuel, as a matter of fact, or blending of fuels. And there are some places like California willing to pay extra for it. I don't understand it, but it's California. What can you say? I always say, if you're willing to pay extra, I'm willing to make it. But, that said, It's really export markets. I mean, our farmers and ranchers grow more food than we can consume. They've always been, agriculture's, for the most part, always been one of the net winners in trade in the United States. And that's changed a little bit in recent years, or at least it goes back and forth. But we are a net exporter and need to be a net exporter. And with Donald Trump's business savvy, and yes, there's some bumps in the road when it comes to tariffs and whatnot, but he's using the leverage that he understands intuitively. That's the thing. The rest of us sort of panic a little bit in the short run. He sees and plays the long game, and I think what you're seeing already with his you know, geopolitical savvy and his willingness, by the way, to get on Air Force One and travel around the world and somehow never sleep and still look fresh. I don't know how he does, but he does. He's a phenom. The bottom line is you guys sell more product to other people that need it.
Yeah.
He knows how to do that.
So, you know, we actually, Jesse Ramos here with AFP Montana and I, we ran in. We got to go see Senator Steve Daines after the luncheon. So we got to see Vice President Vance come out of the meeting and hear some of his remarks. Maybe I'll play that here in a few minutes. But Senator Daines says, yeah, he got an earful about beef.
He did. An earful, a headful, a heartful. and you asked about, you know, his comments. And the thing that the vice president, remembering he was a senator, so he's one of us, and we like that. He's the president of the Senate. He's got a lot of relationships. And he just reminded us of just how accomplished President Trump has proven to be in using the leverage of the power of the biggest economy in the world, the biggest consuming nation in the world, and in using that against people who have been, you know, cheating on us for decades, to include China, in a way that's uncommon, but also very successful. And I think he made some really valid points, and he backed those points up with a lot of good data. And that is, we're making deals where we never used to make deals.
And then Jesse Ramos, it sure sounds like Schumer was getting hammered in his meeting about the Schumer shutdown. Jesse, do you have a quick question or comment you want to throw in here before we run out of time here in a couple
minutes? Yeah, no, Senator, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Jesse.
Just wanted to touch base on kind of permitting reform, and obviously we had some big wins from the Supreme Court, Chevron deference, but I think we both live in states where we have a lot of untapped resources still. We talk about, obviously, oil projects. We talk about mining, logging. What are some things like the Speed Act, Fix Our Future of Forests Act, different things that you think are absolutely critical for Congress to get through now and codify President Trump's executive orders?
Well, and that's a great point, Jesse, because one thing about Chevron, one thing about major questions doctrine, that kicks, it does kick all of this back to states. So states have the opportunity to do things. What I would suggest is, to the degree we can pass legislation at the federal level, that's important. But to the degree that states can pass favorable legislation, I think is as important, if not more important, when you consider that Chevron did exactly that. It said, hey, you as the bureaucracy don't have any power that's not given you. In fact, the way I like to explain the major questions doctrine, which was used in the West Virginia versus EPA order, and I think Montana was a part of that, as was North Dakota. Basically, the way I described it is, the absence of a prohibition is not a license. You guys, that's so huge because that's what the founders always imagined. You have the power that is granted you by the Congress. Nothing more, nothing less.
If the tie goes to the runner, to use a World Series analogy, we the people are the runner, not the bureaucracy, not the bureaucrats. That's they don't get to run away and do whatever they want.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So I think states need to take that ball and run with it as fast as they can.
That is such a great point. And for our state legislators that are listening right now, hey, don't wait for the feds, don't wait for Congress. Like, get some good proactive legislation on the books at the state level. Senator Kramer, such an honor to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you in Mondakistan one of these days.
We'll meet at the border. Let's meet at the Bakken border.
We'll meet at the Bakken border. We'll do that. All right. Well, great to see you. Thanks for joining us. All right. Quick break here with Montana Talks live from Washington, D.C. and Montana Coffee on Capitol Hill.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The president must make the decision, and the courts can hold pardons void if the decisions are made by others. The committee recommends the DOJ investigate all of Biden's executive actions, particularly clemency actions, to assess whether legal action can be taken to void any action the former president did not, in fact, make himself. You realize this is the biggest cover-up scandal that they're exposing in American history, that we had a president of the United States that they knew and they covered up was incapable of doing their job. But we did know, didn't we? Some of us told you the truth. Many of them lied.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
There's a reason I'm so proud of our partnership with Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, because they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to supporting our vets. It's a veteran-owned company. This month, Pure Talk is choosing to support Canines for Warriors. Now, this is an incredible organization that rescues and trains dogs, pairs them with veterans that are struggling, for example, with PTSD. Canines for Warriors gives these heroes a purpose. It gives them companionship and healing. That's exactly why Pure Talk, a veteran-led company, supports them. Now, choose a wireless company that shares your values. Remember, you're going to get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, $25 a month. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You get the exact same service as the big carriers, same cell tower, same 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and make the switch. #250, keyword save now, switch today to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area today, highs from the mid-50s in Bozeman, around 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, mid-20s in Bozeman to the low 30s in Billings. And then Thursday's outlook does call for partly to mostly sunny skies, high temperatures from 48 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The Sac State president was talking trash about the Montana Grizzlies and all of FCS football. Yeah, same guy who apparently talked about ending whiteness. He got sacked by the Montana Pandas on Friday night. Yeah, if you haven't heard the woke backstory on this Sac State president, no joke. He was on some podcast talking about ending whiteness. Then he was mocking the Grizzlies. And then he got sacked. MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There's a Jim Brown. Get in here, man. Come on now. Come on, man. Get up in here. We're going to have James Brown. Duda Brown. James Brown in the house. Montana State Auditor. He's throwing the headset on. We got Jesse Ramos with AFP Montana. By the way, big shout out to our friends with Americans for Prosperity for sponsoring today's Montana Talks program, making this all happen. AFP, Americans for Prosperity, they believe in bottom-up solutions and policies that put people, not politics, first. It's about empowering individuals, not growing government. James Brown, good to see you, my friend. What are you doing here in D.C.?
I'm out here for a conference relating to fiscal policy of the United States. So
that sounds
heady stuff.
It is
pretty exciting. Yeah. So last night at the keynote dinner for this conference I'm at, for the State Financial Officers Association, we heard from the U.S. Treasurer Brandon Beach, and he recited a great story that I'd like to recite on the air. So first of all, I didn't even know there was such a thing as the U.S. Treasurer until last night, so I learned something. The second thing, he was telling a story about Trump and how much Trump loves gold. So do you remember the kind of controversy earlier this year that people were saying that the gold from Fort Knox had been taken?
There it's was not even there.
Right. Yeah. Do you remember
Did we ever find out if it is there?
We did.
Okay.
Right. So this is a great story. Sure. So right. Treasurer Beach recited a story with that when Trump called him to be the U.S. Treasurer, Trump said the very first thing that he wanted to do was accompany Beach down to Fort Knox to see if the gold was still in Fort Knox. And so, as was explained last night, Trump loves gold. If you've seen the Oval Office, I mean, it is very gold, as you know. And the story goes that Treasurer Beach and the president traveled down to Fort Knox, and they opened the vault. And sure enough, the gold was there. And the way it was recited is, as Treasurer Beach said, that The president said, "I love gold."
Did he do the dance while he was in there too?
He was also reciting. So Treasurer Beach headed up Trump's Georgia presidential election operations for the 24 election. And so a few days before the election, Trump was down in Georgia and they had a private meeting, and Trump turned to Beach and said, "So are we going to win Georgia?" And Beach said, "Yes, sir, you are going to win Georgia." And then Trump looked at him and said, "Are we going to win it bigly?" And Beach said, "Yes, sir, we are." And then the reason I told that portion of the story is because apparently he did the dance just in front of Beach. So really good stories.
It is interesting.
But, you know, one of the great things about coming out here is I got to meet with other state auditors and state treasurers, and we talked fiscal policy. 2025 is a really watershed year, I believe, in United States history because of the rise of these digital currencies. Jesse, yeah, you're certainly familiar with that. And the impact that digital currencies are going to have on monetary policy for the United States for the coming century. It's interesting because states like Wyoming are actually creating their own cryptocurrencies.
Really?
And are going to, yes, and get
Wyoming's
a record.
Wyoming's already pressing forward on that.
They've already done it. It's true.
Because Congress earlier this year, in fact, Congressman Troy Downing, who we'll talk with later in the morning, was a big part of that effort to establish this crypto framework, essentially, because like it or not, that's what the world is going to be trading in more and more frequently. So is America going to be the leader in it or not? And is Wyoming going to be a leader in it? It sounds like it. So what could or should Montana do at the same time? That's a very, we got to get you back on the show when we got more time to talk about that. That'll be really good to get a readout. James Brown, great to see you. Jesse Ramos, 30 seconds to go. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, actually, just had a quick question for the auditor. So it sounds like this whole shutdown is really happening because of something that's in your domain, which is the extension of the Obamacare subsidies. Can you just give 10 seconds on that?
You bet. This is not my domain. It's in the domain of several very handsome men that just walked into the room that are going to be interviewed next. This is a decision for Congress to make whether or not the subsidies will be extended. But I'm dealing with it because I'm the one that approves the Obamacare plans that operate in Montana and does oversight of the rates. And so we're in some...
Smokey the Bear.
Oh. And you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
KDUL.